Wonderful song. It fits right in, really, with the message tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. The song, she said, when you just don't understand and you just can't figure out, really, why it is what it is. The song said, just bow the knee. Amen. That's true. And tonight, it's all according to God's time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the verses 1 through 9 tonight. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Of course, we've been preaching in Ecclesiastes on Sunday night, and Solomon, writing in his latter years, has learned some things. And looking back down the road, back at some things, he's given some advice, really to a young generation. He's given some advice to us today as well. He's going to talk about time. There's a time for everything. And we're all found in God's time. We showed up on God's time. We'll leave on God's time. Amen. And along that journey, things are going to happen. Some's going to be positive and some's going to be negative. You see, God has you where He has you for a reason. God brings things your way for a reason. Sometimes we don't quite understand that reason. Sometimes we mess it up. But I tell you what we got to do. We've got to trust God. You see, it's easy to trust God when it's going good, isn't it? Easy to trust God when all is well and we got no problems and everything is just smooth. But it becomes hard when it gets tough. It gets hard when unexpected things show up. It gets hard when diagnosis shows up. It gets hard when we don't understand why we have to go through some things. But we got to remember, God has never lost control of anything. And God still is in control and knows exactly what He's doing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 through 9, you'll find in these passages tonight that the word time, you'll find it mentioned 29 times in these passages of Scripture. 29 times in our text, and 28 of those is in comparison to the positive and the negative. He'll compare some positives and some negatives. You see, the idea of time, it is something we all have. We all have time. Amen? You've got time. We've all got it. We'll spend time. We'll do something with it. Amen? You'll do something with your time. It's something we all have. It's something we must all use. And we have no choice but to use it. We're either going to use it for good or we're going to use it for bad. Amen? We're going to use it some way or another. What we should do is make our minds up to use it as God would have us to use it. That's why He gives it to us. Use it according to His will. Use it according to His good pleasure. And by the way, we would find life would be so much better if we would use it according to His good pleasure and not my good pleasure. But we want to use our time according to our schedule. And we want things to be on our time schedule. And I know we get busy and boy, are we busy and it seems like we just run out of time all the time. But we got the same amount of time every day. And I tell you, we are professionals at wasting time. Amen? We can waste a lot of time. Myself included, we'll waste a lot of time in front of that idiot box that we have at home. That's the TV, by the way, if you know what that is. We'll waste a lot of time there in that thing. I ain't found anything that makes a lot of sense on that old idiot box, have you? Even the news don't make sense anymore. You see, the only thing I found in my life that makes any sense is the Word of God. And boy, does it makes good sense. But it's in contrary. It's contrary to what is on that box. That's why they don't like it. And that's why the devil wants to entertain you with that little set you have in your home. Now, I'm not against television. Don't get me wrong. I got too many myself. I don't hardly watch them occasionally. I have this little Roku box. You know what a Roku box is? And I can call up some shows. I watch them. Andy. You know, I watch Andy. Yeah. And Andy's still good. I don't care what you call him. But he's good. He's what our modern age needs. Amen. This stuff they got on television today, I don't understand it. Maybe I'm just too far out yonder. But anyway, we God gives us time. Time is simply a matter of when and where. It is a specific moment and a particular place. God has put us all here for a purpose. You have a purpose. And let me tell you what, you have an allotted time to fulfill that purpose. Amen? God has given us a purpose, and He's given us a time to do that purpose. I don't know when my time is up, but when it is, I want to have fulfilled the purpose that God put me in my allotted time for. Amen? God has ordered things in our lives that comes along. And by the way, if God orders it, it's to help us on our journey. Amen? What God's given us is to help us on our journey in life. We must remember, God is still in control. Not man. Man's not in control. Man thinks he is. But man's not in control. God is in control. We do not always understand why we are in the things we are in when we are in them, but we're in them for a reason. But God has appointed a time for everyone. Now this is what Solomon is talking about in our text today. Paul told us, if you remember, in his letter to the church at Thessalonica, I think it was, I'm trusting my memory, be thankful in everything. Be thankful in everything. And wherever you find yourself tonight, you need to be thankful. No matter where God has you today, there's a purpose. And be thankful that God has a purpose for your life and make the best of it. Do what God would have you to do. Now let's look at this text. We're going to look at these nine verses tonight. Verse 1 through 3 deals with our physical life. Look at what he said in verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now remember, Solomon in Ecclesiastes is dealing with things under the sun. You see. And here in verse 1, he says there is an appointed time, there is an appointed season for everything. You see, we must have faith in God where He has placed us and what He was doing as children of God. He's got a plan for us right where we are right now. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, and we know that what? All things work together for what? Good. To who? To them that love God. Amen. They work together for the good. You say, Lord, how's any good going to come out of this? Well, hang on. Amen. To them that love God, to them who are called according, here it is, to His purpose. Now, if you're not living your life in the will of God, if you're not living your life to the purpose of God, then there's no good going to come out of it. You see, if we're living our own way and our own will, you're not in the will of God. We have to be in the will of God to fulfill the purpose of God. Amen? We have to use a little common sense sometimes. I've met people I don't think has much common sense. And then they want to know why they get in trouble. You know, we can't, God doesn't want us to go through life acting like a dummy. You know, if you get in your car and you say, I'm going to go out in 460, see if I can put this baby up about 130. Well, that's stupid. Huh? That's stupid. God didn't tell you to do that. Amen? You know, if you're going to go out here with these teenagers, these amusement park, and ride these crazy rides, God didn't tell you to do that stuff. Amen? You fall out of one of them things, it's your problem. God didn't tell you to get on that thing. Amen? We have to use common sense sometimes. Get in the will of God. Amen? Verse number 2, let's go on. A time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, verse number 2, God has appointed a time for you and I to show up. Amen. That's the time to be born. You see, the Lord appointed a time down at Wyoming General Hospital. How many remembers Wyoming General Hospital? It don't exist no more. Down there in Wyoming General Hospital, down there in Mullins, on the 21st day of January, 1968, this old boy showed up. Amen. God had a appointed time. Amen. Me to show up. Had God plugged things along the way? As a journey, amen. Come on with me. As a journey along the way. And you know what? My journey is still going. It hasn't ended yet. I don't know when that is. But there's an appointed time that if the Lord doesn't show up in the clouds of glory, I'll disappear. Amen. I won't be here anymore. God has an appointed time. You see, there's a time to be born. There's a time to die. You see, it's in God's timetable. God never intended for people to be born into sin, but man caused that. Amen. You see, man messed it up. And I'm going to tell you something else. God never intended for his plan to be interrupted by abortion. Amen. God never planned for us to stop the birth of the babies. That was not in God's plan. Amen. Man took matters into his own hands. God never intended for that to happen. God appointed a time for that little baby to be born, and man interrupted it. Man will answer for that. Amen. You see, God never intended for that. Let me tell you something. We have no right under any circumstance to stop birth. If God doesn't want that baby born, he'll stop it. Amen. We have no rights. I don't care what it is. God will take care of it. God has appointed a time. God has appointed a time. You see, man caused sin. But God, even though man caused sin, God gave a remedy for it. Amen? God gave a remedy. God gave us a time to die. Psalm 31 and verse 15, Bible says, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Listen, God's got an appointed time for you and I to leave this world. Amen. We have no right to shorten our lives by reckless living or even by suicide. We don't have no right to do that. God's appointed a time. Well, preacher, my life is so stressful and it's so a mess. Let me tell you what, get on your bow of the knee. Get in with God and talk to God about it. Let God straighten it out. That's what God does. We have no right to shorten lives. He says there's a time to plant. God gives certain time that we can plant. Now, I thought about that. If we fooled around too long, we miss planting season. Amen. We're coming into planting season, aren't we? Now, you gardeners know that if you don't get out there, get in the ground, there's just a little window there, you've got to do it. You're going to miss planting season. You see, God's given us a time to plant. Whether we're planting stuff in the ground or planting the Word of God, whatever, God gives us a window that if we don't watch, we'll miss it. We'll miss what God has for us to do. And He's given us a time to do that. He gives us a time to pluck up a harvest, that which is planted. And the same thing applies here. If we do not go and get what God has given us, if we don't go and get that what we've planted, when it's ready, what happens to it? It soon dies out and it's no good. Let me tell you something, folks, about your walk with the Lord. There's a time when you're going to plant, and there's a time you better go and get, because it might be gone. Amen. You might waste your time and not be able to get the harvest that God has so bountifully laid for you. Amen. I scarcely think how many people has missed God's supply because they're wasting their time in things of the world, wasting their time in junk, and missing what God. You know, and not only that, but people can spend, and we preached on this not too long ago, people can spend so much time in bitterness and hatred and fussing and complaining, they're missing God's blessing. It's laid right out before them, but they're too busy looking at the neighbor. They're too busy looking at the church. They're too busy looking at everything else. They're missing what God's laid at their feet. Amen. Amen. You see, there's a time to plant. There's a time to go get that. That's been planted. Time to go pick it up. I thought about this. I thought about going after lost souls. We have only a short window of time to go after lost souls, for either time's going to run out or they're going to run out. They're going to die too, you see. And we must reach them with the gospel. Now, there's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. Verse number 3, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to kill. There is a time when killing becomes necessary. Now this is a hard statement. We see a time of war. When you think of sickness and disease, I thought about our old bodies. You know, they're slowly killing us. Amen? They are. It's breaking down. Every day, it's breaking down. There's time to kill. I thought about the people in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the times when God brought war on disobedient children. And killings took place. You see, God brought wars because of disobedience. Today, we see wars and disasters. But by the way, God allows these things to happen. You see, He doesn't cause them. He allows them to happen. There's a difference there. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, the Bible says, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." In Hosea 6, chapter 6, verse 1, he said, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He had torn and He will heal us. He has smitten and He will bind us up." Sometimes God has to bring disaster so the world will straighten up. Amen. Sometimes He's got to get our attention. And sometimes there's a time for killing. It gets our attention. If you want a prime example, you go back to 9/11. Now, God didn't cause that tragedy. God allowed it to happen. He could have stopped it. But I'm going to tell you, it got a nation's attention. Amen? It got a nation's attention. And they began to cry out to God. You see, He says there's a time to heal. God is our great healer. And again, Israel's the best example. God allowed things in their life because of disobedience. But when they would listen, God brought healing, didn't he? God would bring healing to them. He goes on in his verse, say, there's a time to break down and a time to build up. God allows things to fall so things can be brought in. God allows people to move out so people can be brought in. Amen. You see, this is why I thought about this. You go to the hospital and you'll go down here to the nursery, and boy, there's joy in the nursery. This new life has showed up. New people has showed up. You walk a few steps down the hallway and you're at the ICU unit and there's tears and crying because somebody's coming in and somebody's going out. Somebody's standing up and somebody's falling. Amen. That's the way it is. That's God's plan. Now we got time in between those two dates to do something about it. Amen. But we're wasting time. But we're wasting so much time. Verse number 4 is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Bible says, and by the way, verses 4 and 5 deal with our emotional life. Weeping is part of life. You understand that weeping is part of your life. You know what weeping does to us? It causes us to look to God. Amen. It causes us to look to God. The Bible says that even Jesus wept. You see, he wept, if you remember, over Lazarus, the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus wept. Job over in Job 16 and verse 20, he said, my friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. You see, there's a time we must mourn. Psalm 56 and verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God knows every tear we shed. Amen. God knows every tear we shed. I was reading the Old Testament, studying there, how they would put their tears in the bottles. Collect their tears. You know, that got me to thinking. And I went back and to that woman in the New Testament that washed Jesus' feet with her tears. You know what I think she had? I think she had her tears in a bottle. She had her tears in a bottle. She brought her tears to the Lamb of God. In our lives, we'll have times of mourning when we shed tears. Let me tell you, church, bring your tears to the Lamb of God. He knows every one of them. Amen. There's a time we got to mourn. We don't always understand things, and we'll shed tears trying to understand them. There's a time when we must be sad. Our tears are precious to our God. Psalm 126 and verse 5, the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall what? Reap in joy. That's what the Bible says. Then it says there's a time to laugh, and I love to laugh. Oh, I love to laugh. Amen. It was the same writer over in Proverbs that said, a merry heart doeth good like a what? Medicine. You see. Love to laugh. And we should laugh. And there's a time to laugh. But there's a time you shouldn't laugh. Sometimes things ain't funny. Amen. And sometimes we need to refrain from laughing. Because that's when we need to mourn. You see. A time to dance. There's a time when we can be excited and be happy. As children of God, we ought to be happy. By the way, we ought to be happy in sadness. That doesn't mean we don't shed tears. But there's a time when we can really be happy. You know, you have them, times in your life when you just, it seems like, boy, it's a good day. Amen. And I'm happy. And I'm excited. God blesses us with those. You see. Verse number 5, he said, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to cast stones away and a time to bring them in. Now, let me tell you what the word stone means here. It means weight. The word stone means weight. There's a time, folks, when we need to throw the weight off. Amen. Off our own shoulders. There's a time we need to cast away some things that so easily beset us. Amen. We need to get rid of those things. We need to turn them over to the Lord. They will weigh you down. There's a time we've got to get rid of them. And there's a time to gather stones in. You know, I got to thinking, Lord, I don't know what that means. But you know what he told me? He said, there's a time when you need to carry somebody else's weight. There's a time when you need to help somebody who's carrying a heavy weight. You know, come along beside them and help them cast some stones away. Amen? Then he said, there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to hug and then there's a time to refrain from hugging. Amen? Sometimes people need you to embrace them. Sometimes people need you to hug them. And sometimes people just need you to leave them alone. Amen? Sometimes people just need time by themselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with a desire to help people. And we should be. But sometimes people just want time by themselves. Amen. Sometimes people got things figured out. And we need to give them that time. Amen. There's times when I like to just have time with God by myself. And to get some answers. God will give us answers, by the way. You spend quiet time with God in God's Word and God will give you some answers. You see. And sometimes we just need to leave people alone. And then they'll come. Amen. Verse number 6, the Bible says, and verse 6 through 8, by the way, has to do with their spiritual life. There's a time to get, and this word get means gain. There's a time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Verse 6 speaks of our spiritual life. And this is a time to gain. God allows us to get things. You know why God allows us to get things? I believe he allows us to get them so we can give them away. Amen. I believe God allows us to get things so we can bless somebody else in our journey. So we can help somebody else that comes across our pathway. God gives us so much, but our tendency is to just take it in and take it in, take it in. After a while, we got so much stuff, we don't even know what we got. But God would give us things so we can bless somebody else, somebody else's ministry, somebody else's whatever. God would want us to bless them along the way. There's a time to lose. That's what he's talking about. Give away. There's a time to keep. There are some things we must keep in our lives. And by the way, you must keep them sacred. Amen. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the things of God. They are to be sacred to us. You see, there's a time to keep and then there's a time to cast away. We need to get rid of some things. There's some things we don't need. There's some things that doesn't help us in our spiritual walk with the Lord. Matter of fact, they get in the way of our serving God. Now, I love to do things. I love to go places. And I love one of the greatest things that I love to do. I haven't done in a long time. I used to love go fishing. Love go fishing. I still do when I go. I don't go much. But there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You ought to enjoy yourselves. But if your fishing day is Sunday, there's something wrong with it. Amen. If your day to fish, the only day I got to fish is Sunday, then you better find you another day. Because that's not good. You need to get rid of that. Amen. And serve God. Some things you just have to cast away. Verse number 7, there's a time to rend and a time to sow. There's a time to keep silent and a time to speak. This word rend means tear. You see, we must tear some things out. We must tear some things out of our fellowship. We must tear, if it's contrary to what we're preaching and what we're teaching, we need to tear it out and get rid of it. Amen. There comes a time in our life that we have to separate from some things. And we have to separate from things that'll keep us out of the will of God. And sometimes that's people we have to separate from because they're trying to get us out of the will of God, out of the Word of God. And so we have to rend these things and we have to tear them out and cast them aside so we can properly serve God. So we have to tear things away. And then the Bible says there's a time to sow. Sometimes we have to mend things together. Amen. Sometimes by what we say, sometimes by what we do, we tend to tear things up. So then there has to be some mending. Amen. Sometimes you have to go back and mend some wounds you've made. That's not always easy to do, but it has to be done. It keeps us in fellowship with God, you see. Now, he said there's a time to keep silent. You know what that means? It's time to be quiet. There are some times we just ought to be quiet. Amen. Myself included. There are some times you just say, Ever you hear me say, I ain't got nothing to say. Well, maybe it's better I don't say nothing. But sometimes you just got to keep quiet. Sometimes it's best to say nothing. The more we talk, the more likely we are to get in trouble. Amen. And there are some people, that's all they know how to do. They won't hush. They just talk and talk and talk and talk. After a while, you're thinking, where did this conversation start at? Huh? What was it we was talking about? Huh? And then there's a time to speak. There's a time when it's appropriate to speak. But however, when we feel it's appropriate to speak, we must mix that with wisdom. Amen. We must mix it with wisdom or we'll quickly make fools out of ourselves. Verse number 8, the Bible says there's a time to love. There's a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace, a time to love. We must have the love of God. Amen. We must have the love of God. But then he says there's a time to hate. What do you think he means? Well, I think he means this. God must have first place. Amen. The things that we are loving, that's putting God out of his place, we need to hate them. Jesus even said over in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus is not telling us to go out here and go to your dad and say, well, I hate you, I don't like you anymore. He's telling us. He's telling us that God must have first place. Everything else when it comes to God must be on the hate list. Amen. He's not telling us to hate. God was not about hate. God was about love. But if we're loving things more than God, we got problems. God is, he's saying God must be first place and number one. And when he is, it'll fall in place. You know, God hates sin. But guess what? Loves the sinner. Amen. He loves the sinner. We must do the same. I mentioned abortion. Oh, I despise abortion, but the one caught up in abortion, we need to love. We need to love them because they need somebody to love them. They need somebody to help them. I think of this a sin of homosexuality that's floating in our world. I want nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. But these people that are caught up in it, we need to love them because they need some help. And we're the only help they're going to get. Amen. And then I thought about the drug addicts and the alcoholics and all those. Those are things causing major problems. We don't love those sins, but those people need somebody to love them. They need somebody to tell them, I'm praying for you. I know the way you can get out of this. You see, introduce them to Jesus. I'll tell you, Jesus has set many of them free. Amen. He has set many of them free. A time of war and a time of peace. There must be war in order to have peace. I thought about that God one of these days will bring total peace to this old earth, but it won't be until there's great war in this world. Amen. Read the book of Revelation. Great war must come and great devastation must come before God's peace settles in. You see, these things must be. In verse number 9, we're finished tonight. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Once again, the question is, what profit has man if all he has is his labor, in his labor, if all he has is what's under the sun? What profit have you? What profit have you if you're going to spend all your time hoarding up everything you've got, not loving nobody, not sharing with nobody, not bringing the cause of Christ? You spend all your life and then you die. What does it profit you? Last time we told you, you're going to leave for somebody to fight over. Amen. Somebody else is going to tend to it and they're probably going to waste it. Amen. What profit is it tonight? Listen, we as Christians tonight need to serve God with everything he's given us. And he's got a time for us. He's got a window for us. There was a time when you showed up. I guarantee every one of you here showed up. You can tell me the date you showed up. You probably don't remember it, but you can tell me. That's because somebody else told you. Amen. Somewhere down the road, you're going to disappear out of here. Now you haven't a lot of time to do for God what God would have you to do. Amen. Amen. Gary, let's come and sing tonight. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, won't you come? If you're here tonight and you need to pray about whatever, you come. The altars are open as we sing this song of invitation tonight. Open your heart and listen to what God's telling you in your allotted time he's given you. Maybe you're today and you're in a valley that's pretty rough. Remember, God's got a purpose for you there. God's put you where he wants you for a reason. And God will help you. Amen. Let's stand and sing.